Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Dan. Hi, Connor.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
What's up, guys?
Dean Brugler.
With David Montgomery, he can do a little bit of everything. One thing that I kept coming back to when I was evaluating him and talking to people and talking to Iowa State coaches, the word culture changer, talking about his work ethic, talking about his intangibles, that always seemed to come up first. And then, of course, you can watch the tape and see that he's a really, really talented guy, not just as a rusher, but he can catch a ball in the backfield. He can do everything. He doesn't put the football on the ground. He might not be necessarily elite in any one area, but I love his balance, I love his vision, and the fact that he can do everything in terms of catching the football, blocking, being reliable, toting the rock. So with David Montgomery, I think he has a total package, someone that could do a little bit of everything and can be on the field and on any down or situation.
Intelligent, in-depth sports talk for your workday.
What they are is they're out there, they're talking, they're yapping, and they're trying their best.
Bernstein and McKnight, middays on the Score.
Bernstein and McKnight broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, home of the Tucson and Santa Fe Sport. Joe Sheehan makes his regular Tuesday appearance at 10 o'clock. It's Joe Day on the Score. You know, the Tuesdays are Joe Day. Joe Sheehan at 10, Joe Madden at noon. You know how that works. The Midday Midway at 10:20 is a special one today, as we're going to spend a lot of time talking about Avengers Endgame, opinions of that movie. And I know that you and Jay wanted to jump in with some Game of Thrones as well.
You know, the two massively appealing things in American culture right now. Those
international culture for Avengers Endgame.
$1.2 billion.
The numbers in China are ridiculous. Ridiculous.
So
that's not just a U.S. phenomenon. We also have some giveaways. So if you've got to be listening for a special text keyword for your opportunity to win $1,000 in cash. And we've got a dinner for Cinco, five guests at Chuy's Tex-Mex restaurants, your official Cinco de Mayo headquarters, locations in Orland Park, Warrenville, and Schaumburg. And that Schaumburg location is going to be where you are. That's on Sunday from noon to 2.
That's right.
Hanging out there.
Be a good time for Cinco de Mayo.
I think it will.
Come
so
by, hang
lunch,
out.
And drinks, and talking sports, and taking home prizes. So
most
have
of
fun
the
with that.
And the drinking.
Yes. 312-644-6767. That's the phone number at WSCR The Score. Email us at BernsteinandMcKnight@670thescore.com. That's where you listen to us live. We are streaming at 670thescore.com. You want to send a text? You can to 67011. When you do, we reply. Message and data rates may apply. Twitter at Bernstein_MCK. He's at C1 McKnight. I am at Dan_Bernstein. Download the radio.com app.
Why are the Rockets so whiny?
Ooh, they're annoying. The whole officiating storyline thing is just tiresome.
You're going to get into that a little bit later in the morning, but my goodness. Talk about sucking all the joy out of the ball game.
Well, Scotty Foster gets their next game, of course.
Oh, joy.
NBA is trolling them. That way you can stream the Score on your mobile devices, interact with the show and the station on Facebook by liking the 670 The Score page. Jay Zawoski, Rick Camp, and I don't see anybody in the seat of the executioner, Ray Diaz. I believe he is here. He is back there, and they're handling the producer duties. Here are the numbers through 23 games for the White Sox, Tim Anderson. I'm just going to give these out because we're going to hear from Tim Anderson in just a moment. But I just want you to know the player we're talking about right here. He's already had 99 plate appearances. He is batting .375, slugging .615. That's a weighted runs created plus of 171. That means he is 71% better than an average player right now. He's doing some pretty special things. It's not just what he's doing, it's how he's doing it that is going to raise some interesting and, I think, very positive questions, but not everybody thinks that. Going to hear from him in his own words after an update.
How do you feel about your leadership right now?
I don't talk much, but I'm more so about, you know, showing it on the field as far as when it comes to being a leader. And I just try to go out and, you know, lead as far as by example and, you know, definitely go out and play hard. And hopefully these guys can follow up behind me.
Bruce Levine of The Score had a one-on-one over the weekend with red-hot White Sox shortstop Tim Anderson, and I've known from interviews I've done with him that, no, he doesn't like to talk very much.
Not so much.
He doesn't have to.
No, he doesn't.
Because his game is loud, and it isn't just what happens when the bat meets the ball or when he's chasing something down in the field. It's his level of celebration. And the question that I have, the question's twofold here. I have given my opinion about how much I love that kind of thing and where baseball's headed and how the rules of baseball are changing in this regard. The White Sox have a decision to make how hard they lean in from a marketing perspective. Do they say, this is the identity of our team, this is what we want, we're going to step out there? Because for a long time, teams were loath to do it. Say, yeah, well, he's a free-spirited kid, and maybe some people liked it and some didn't. There is still, as much as we want to say that, the game has evolved, there is still a well-placed, well-represented group of small-c conservatives when it comes to baseball behavior. And I don't mean to overlay that with and imbue this with anything
more than
that.
There's not a political tinge to this.
No,
just
I meant small-c. Well, there is something because of the fact that he's African-American that changes the way everybody looks at it. You can't ignore. I mean,
that's fair.
That's part of the whole elephant in the room thing. The Cubs have done it a little bit with Javier Baez. Because also the Cubs have won a World Series and things have been different. So do the White Sox embrace Tim Anderson as a tentpole of their identity? And the other question, if you are a White Sox fan, do you want that? Is that okay with you? Is that cool?
I don't know a White Sox fan who is reticent to embrace Tim Anderson's success. I remember talking about Tim quite a bit when he came up. I was there that season. It was about 20-something games in. And just his presence, the flash he brought. And not from a bat flip perspective, not from a celebratory perspective, but for the first time in a while, the White Sox suddenly had a guy that could go first to home real quick. A guy that would take bags. A guy that had the athleticism in the infield that looked impressive. And that was different. You know, I mean, he came up and it looked immediately different on the field. So while he's had his struggles offensively, to be sure, and he's had his strikeouts and he swings at a whole lot of baseballs, many other players do these days. His approach is a lot closer to Paul DeJong's of the Cardinals, who, by the way, according to Fangraphs, is the best shortstop going right now. Tim Anderson is sixth. They're all bunched up there. DeJong, Andrus, Baez, Semien. That kind of production is pretty well known at this point. So I don't know a White Sox fan that would look at Tim Anderson's success and go, I'm not in for that.
Separate. It's not his success. It's the sizzle.
Mm-hmm.
It's the showmanship.
But
where some people find it arrogant, some people find it off-putting, some people may not. As much as I like to think that everybody looks at the game the way I look at the game now, I know it's not true.
Well, and this is where I think the White Sox fan base is in a really interesting place, because you are finishing off, or hopefully trying to finish off, this phase of the rebuild, that you're moving on, that at some point when Dylan Cease comes up this season, hopefully, that is your, here we go, let's go win some ball games. I would imagine that even those White Sox fans, and tell me if I'm wrong, Sox fans, but even those White Sox fans who are maybe on the fence about bat flips and, I don't know, showiness or joy or exhilarance when you're playing the game, even those are ready and willing to be swayed, because this team is ready and close to turning a corner with Tim Anderson at the center of it. He's talked quite a bit. Bruce had a sit down with him this over the weekend, like you mentioned, and he talked quite a bit about what it is to put some of this joy into the game and why he's playing the way he plays.
It's a long season, so, you know, I don't want it to be a long, boring season, so I try to do something interesting and, you know, try to have a lot of fun. And, like, I think the fans enjoy that.
I think your message is fun, too, to a lot of people. Like, just be you.
Yeah, definitely, man. We all human. You know, stop trying to, you know, I'm not trying to be somebody else. So why not just be myself and bring what I have to the game?
And will you be willing to sustain it when this inevitably drops off? He's not a 171 weighted runs created plus player. He doesn't walk. His on-base percentage is essentially his batting average. And if he has an outlier year, hits .310, whatever he does, will he sustain it? And you don't want to be Nick Swisher here. You don't want to be the guy
don't be Nick Swisher.
Who's all about that life when it's going good and then isn't when it's going bad.
Tim is so grounded in what it took for him to get to this level. At least that's how it seems to me. You know, he's been through some stuff. He has been through quite a life in his last handful of years. And his James Fegan actually has a piece out this morning in The Athletic about how he arrived to baseball. White Sox fans know it, and maybe you do too, but he didn't play a lot of baseball through high school. He had two seasons, junior and senior year, both of them shortened some by leg injuries. He was a big-time basketball recruit.
Yeah, stress fractures, right?
Stress fractures, yeah, in both legs. And moved on to baseball because a particular coach nearby, you know, his hometown, was just kind of sold him on it and pushed him toward it and saw the talent there. I mean, he got put at shortstop in the major leagues after playing very little shortstop at a professional level. So the ask on this guy was very big to begin with.
The text line is exploding here with people responding to my direct question, saying yes and yes, time to step out of the shadows and be a thing. Now, this is an opportunity for the White Sox to put their stamp on, to hitch their wagon to him and say, yeah, we're the guys that do, we're the team that does this, we're the team that is not just accepting of this, but promoting it, getting behind it. You want to flip a bat, you want to jump up and down. It's one thing when Yolmer Sanchez is dumping Gatorade on his head. It's another thing when this guy is getting under people's skin. Tim Anderson, there's a lot of people around the league who aren't happy with the way he behaves. I think it's awesome, let the record show. The 847, Tim Anderson is the most entertaining player the White Sox have had since ever. He's fun. He's engaging. Frank Thomas, Paul Konerko, Mark Burley, great players, but boring. The Tim isn't boring. 100,000% the Sox should make him the face of everything.
Yeah,
and I feel a special good feeling about the fact that a lot of kids are watching you play with Fun and Verve, and just really, this is the game you should play because it can be played like this. And
yeah, definitely, man. Keep it from being boring. You know, a lot of people don't watch baseball, so you got to do something that, you know, draw that crowd, whether it's bat flips or whatever. You know, I think that's going to get the kids into it, and I think the kids like that stuff, so we're going to keep doing it.
There's an understanding he's got about what this product is, what the sport is, and what this sport needs. And I can tell you that the kid backs it up with some of the work that he does. You know, you talk about the White Sox history over the last 10, 15 years or so, and the names you mentioned, like Paul Konerko or Mark Burley, Aaron Rowan, even in times gone. Like, there's this grinder mentality to them.
Darren,
you know, the fact that Rowan and Burley specifically got so much out of a skill set that was kind of restricted, to be quite honest, or that Paul Konerko got so much out of a body that wasn't all that, you know, typically athletic. There was so much work that went into each one of those guys. There has been an equal amount of work into Tim Anderson's game. Look at the guy and the work he's put in on the field before games. I used to walk into that clubhouse, and while Tim isn't a vocal leader, he learned from a guy who was both a vocal leader and a lead by example guy. He would sit down with Todd Frazier before games and go over, scour infield reports. Where are you for this guy? Where are you for that guy? He understood and saw from him and from other, you know, veteran players on that team then, what it takes to put into this game, to understand how to set yourself up for the best possible success. That work is absolutely stuff that he's gone through to get where he is, to bat flip the way he does.
A big response here. Callers getting ready to jump in. If you're a White Sox fan, is this what you want? You want to hitch your wagon to this? You want this to be a significant part of your brand, especially an old White Sox fan? I don't like these kids jumping around and doing this. Maybe it's a, well, when it's your team, it's an awful lot of fun. 312-644-6767. Bernstein and McKnight giving away $1,000 today, giving away some Tex-Mex food. Joe Sheehan joining us at the top of the hour on The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
I guess those are the rules when those guys play, but they're not playing anymore. So I think we're going to switch it up a little bit.
Damn right, switch it up, Tim Anderson. Do you? This segment brought to you by the Chicago Bears. Don't miss out on Bears 100 Celebration Weekend, June 7th through the 9th in Rosemont. Anthony Miller, Khalil Mack, Allen Robinson, and Trey Burton together on stage chatting about their outlook on 2019. See this panel and more, plus free autographs and photo ops only at Bears 100 Celebration Weekend. Visit ChicagoBears.com for tickets. Boy, I have to be honest with you. I didn't expect the volume of response to this, how strongly White Sox fans feel about this, about what's going on with this guy.
And non-White Sox fans. There are a number of Tim Anderson backers who aren't necessarily White Sox fans, or at least per the text line, not so much. Let me just nip one thing real quickly here. A bunch of phone calls and your text too, but on the text line I'm seeing this. Let's see how cute it is. Essentially what it reads. Let's see how cute it is when Tim's hitting 220 through August, all his act, right? Well, okay. Let's just get that for a second. Of course there are going to be months that a baseball player, especially one that's shaped kind of the way Tim Anderson is, whose game works the way Tim's does, who has bad months. He's not going to bat flip a strikeout. He's not going to bat flip a ground out to short. He will bat flip the home runs and the good things he does for his team. Like, how does it get out of control? It gets out of control when a guy like Brad Keller, or by proxy, his manager, Ned Yost, decides to throw at the guy who just did the good thing on the field. This isn't something where you exhaust this reserve of good baseball things. If you do the good things, you celebrate the good things. It's pretty simple.
North Side, Willie, you are on the Bernstein and McKnight Show on The Score.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
What's up, Willie?
I'm a Cubs fan, and I haven't been a White Sox fan for years, because I have found them to be behind the times. They need to catch up to what football did when they let those guys be who they are. I love Tim Anderson. He's made me excited about looking at the White Sox outcome. I'm even going to go to a couple of games. I'm the guy they really want to look at, because I'm the old guy who knows baseball, who'll turn to his millennial kids, his grandkids, and say, we're going to a White Sox game because I want you to see this guy. I want to see this guy flip his bat. I want to see this guy have some fun. People need to look at what baseball and basketball has done. Those games are sustainable because they're so much fun. I mean, football, those football players, I love the dances in the end zone. I absolutely love Tim Anderson. They got to cut him loose, let him be who he's going to be, so I will enjoy to watch the game.
There you have.
Appreciate it, man.
That's good stuff, Willie.
I think with,
go Bears!
Hell yeah. I think with Tim, too, you kind of put it in perspective. We talked about this a little bit in the meeting. He's the last prospect. Check me if I'm wrong here, but he's the last prospect the White Sox tried to push in the way that the White Sox have kind of pushed prospects. He's that 2016, 23-10 start, that whole thing that unraveled on them a little bit and necessitated all the trades. They pushed him into the major leagues. And he succeeded, and he's still come out as a positive player. Sure, he could be probably a better fielder based on a lot of the zone ratings, but you can see the athleticism and his ability to kind of stabilize as a shortstop. At least I can from here.
Plenty on his shoulders because of the dearth of White Sox high draftees who play positions. They don't do well.
Creedy?
Right. I mean, Gordon Beckham flamed out.
Robin Frank?
Robin's 100 years ago. Robin was drafted in 87.
Name the other White Sox position players, you know, big time or even relatively big. Because remember, the White Sox jumped all over Tim in the first round. I mean, he dragged a lot of eyes.
Robin Ventura was drafted 32 years ago.
Yeah, man.
Come on.
Yeah. I think that's how far you got to go.
Southside, Terry, you're on WSCR.
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's up, Terry?
Hey, I just wanted to make a comment about Anderson. I mean, he developed himself as a ball player. He said he didn't come up with a lot of skills behind him as short, but he's worked and became a good player. And let's keep it real. On the North Side, they praise Baez with the slick tag, with the cool slide to second. I mean, come on now.
thank you, Terry. Hey,
Terry,
fired up.
Hell yes.
Absolutely, I am.
Hell yes.
In Valpo, this is Paul. He's on Bernstein and McKnight on The Score. What's happening, Paul?
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for bringing up this topic. I am one of those old school Sox fans that, you know, love the unwritten rules. And when one of my guys would get shown up for violating one of these rules, I wanted to see somebody get dusted at the plate. And when Baez did his antics, and even when Sammy did his hop for the Cubs, I hated that stuff. But not only has Anderson changed my mind completely on the topic, he's got me rooting for Baez to do more of it, actually. And I love seeing it from any player that does it. So he's completely changed my perspective on all of it. and this was ingrained for a good 35 years.
I'm with you. I'm right there with you. I used to say it about some of the Dusty Baker Cubs, and they would, you know, beat the Reds in July, and of the dog pile, what are you doing? Act right. Like the, I was Tom Brenneman. I was like that.
Do you remember what it was that flipped it for you? Was there one thing? It was like an off season, a player.
It was having a kid. It was watching.
Makes sense.
It was watching the way kids play.
Makes sense.
It was seeing the game through my son's eyes.
Yeah.
It was being around youth baseball, and it changed everything. It's also being more sensitive to multiculturalism, and I think that's why Tim Anderson matters more. He's not Venezuelan. He's not Dominican.
Interesting.
That's an American kid from Alabama.
Yeah.
That's not Jose Bautista. That is a kid from Alabama.
See, I'm a Griffey guy. I'm a Griffey kid. Like that, he was always center of the baseball conversation. Rick's about my age. I imagine Griffey was a big thing for Jay. Was Griffey your? I mean, that was it.
Do you remember the whole thing about
the attitude in baseball?
I'll never forget an All-Star game when he takes batting practice with a hat on backwards. And
I remember having a conversation.
Fred Huebner wanted him deported.
I remember having a conversation with my dad about it. It's like, it's his hat backward. Why is his hat backward? I don't know, because it's cool.
Right, because it looks cool.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, it's pretty cool. Yeah, right? It's pretty damn cool.
Right? I remember that. What's he doing? Where's his hat right? Chip and Burbank, you're on the score.
Good morning, guys. As far as I'm concerned, Anderson can do any damn thing he wants with that bat as long as he keeps playing baseball the way he's playing baseball. You know, I'm like you, Dan. I was a hammerer. I was the guy that, you know, this guy is a little too close to the plate, so let's put one in his ear. Let's pop one off his elbow. The reality of it is baseball has always been a kind of a clown act, if you think about it. I was mentioning to your gentleman there, when I was a kid going to Old Comiskey, you had Andy the clown in the stands making all kinds of noise.
The literal clown act.
Right. You had Andy, was it Andy Patkin? I think it was his
Pafco.
Name.
Pafco.
No, Max Patkin.
That's right.
The clown prince of baseball.
Exactly. The major league teams used to hire him to put some entertainment on the field. Let the players be entertaining. Thanks, guys.
Chip.
Yeah, there's all the ancillary entertainment going on. Why not let the players actually do it themselves?
Yeah, I mean, Tim Anderson represents, I think he understands it too. He represents a lot when it comes to this version of baseball. He is a young African-American superstar. There aren't a whole lot of black kids playing baseball right now. That number has dwindled. I don't know the exact numbers, but it has dwindled over the last 3-4 seasons. It's not been over the last decade and a half, I think, where it had been in the, I want to say, late 70s, early 80s, even into the mid to late 80s. I think those numbers were much, much bigger. That's not happening anymore. A lot of changes to baseball, and with a first month in the books, we figured pretty good time to check in with Joe Sheehan, our guy, our 10 o'clock guy here on Tuesday. Talk a little baseball with Joe when we come back. It's Bernstein and McKnight, 670 The Score.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.